Today on Real Life Radio.
You are my beloved son. In you I'm well pleased. What does that word pleased mean? In you I am completely satisfied. In what way? God the Father is saying, mankind shall be saved because you're the offering and you have willingly, gladly offered yourself to be this offering. God dying in the place for sinful man to purchase for him forever redemption. I'm pleased in you.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Real Life. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled God's Pattern for Success. One of the four Gospels, the Gospel of Luke, gives us important details and key events that surround the birth of Christ and his purpose here on this earth. Now, as we previously learned, John the Baptist baptized a whole bunch of people there at the bank of the Jordan River. So when Jesus came up to be baptized, it sort of confused John. But Jesus, by his actions, identified himself with the people, combining the things of heaven with the things of earth. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that God's pattern for success is to obey the Lord in all things. Since the beginning of time, God has had a plan for each and every one of our lives, to get extreme with our prayers, and to thirst after Him to such a degree that we can never get enough of Him. Now in his message called God's Pattern for Success, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel concerning the children of Israel, they angered God for 40 years in the wilderness. The Bible says that the Spirit of God came and turned on them, and He became their enemy. The Holy Spirit is a person. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God. Well, Pastor, can you explain it? I can't explain it. Nobody can. And I thank God that we cannot correctly explain this attribute of our God. But the Lord God is one, says the Bible. But He manifests Himself in three persons. The best I can do is if there's three of you with the same last name that live under the same roof. You have one roof, one address, one last name, but three of you are individual personalities. Each of you have access to that address. Each of you are co-equal legally. But listen, you're different in personality. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is represented here before us. And so there's this tremendous call to obeying the voice from heaven that is laid upon us as we study the Bible. And he says in verse 22, you are my beloved son. In you I'm well pleased. And church, listen to this. This is a quote taken out of the Messianic scriptures of the Old Testament, Psalm 2. It's Psalm chapter 2 that makes reference, verse 7, that the Lord said unto me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. That's a reference to Christ. The word means this. Today you will become my son. Today I will glorify you. It's an announcement given by God the Father to God the Son that Christ would go forth as Savior. When God says here in the scripture that he was pleased with Jesus Christ, what is he pleased about? He's pleased with the offering of Christ. That what Jesus offers is redemption for mankind. Now get this. This was lived out in typology with Abraham and Isaac. The Bible tells us that Abraham was visited by God, and God tells Abraham, go take your son, your only son, and take him to a mountain I will show you. And then, anybody remember? Abraham took two servants with him and Isaac, and they rode for how many days? 3 days. Significant. 3 days. In Abraham's mind, how long was Isaac offered up as a sacrifice? 3 days in his head. They get to the base of a mountain, and Abraham says to the two servants, you stay here. My son and I will go and worship on yonder mountain, and then we will come back again to you. That's a very faithful statement to say. Because Abraham knew that his son was going to go to the sacrifice. Isaac is carrying the wood. They go to Mount Moriah. And there, Isaac's his father. Here's the wood that, by the way, the son carried on his back. Here's the fire. Where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, son, God's going to provide himself a lamb as a sacrifice. Well, where did that come from? Abraham didn't even have a lamb. He was speaking prophetically. And so the Bible says that Abraham took Isaac, who's 30 years old, and lays him down on the altar of wood. Now look, a 30-year-old guy could beat up a 100-year-old guy easy. The Bible there in Genesis says that they went in agreement. Isaac lay down, trusting that the God of his father Abraham would raise him from the dead if need be. Abraham takes a knife, puts it up over his son, raises it up, and starts to bring it down. And the angel of the Lord stops Abraham and says, all right, that's it. Look, right there is a ram caught in the thickets. Sacrifice him. And now, Abraham, I know that you'll keep nothing from me. I think God knew that, but Abraham didn't know that. The same hill, God takes his son, wood on the back, goes to the hilltop, Mount Moriah. The altar is there, made out of a cross. Jesus willingly, without argument, goes to the cross. He's crucified. The Father provided the lamb. It's John the Baptist. John chapter 1, verse 29 says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's a messianic statement. You are my beloved son. In you I'm well pleased. What does that word pleased mean? In you I am completely satisfied. In what way? God the Father is saying, mankind is going to be saved. Mankind shall be saved because you're the offering and you have willingly, gladly offered yourself to be this offering. God dying in the place for sinful man to purchase for him forever redemption. I'm pleased in you that when you offer yourself, Isaiah chapter 53 says, I will be pleased with your offering and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance. And I will see that by your sacrifice, you will justify those who trust in you. I'm pleased in you. I'm pleased with you. What an awesome thing. The word also means honor. God the Father is saying, I'm honoring you, God the Son, for your work of redemption and your willingness and your obedience. Few things. God honored the Son. God the Father honored God the Son because Christ was willingly allowing himself to come to earth. The willingness of Christ to become a human being. Anybody want to answer this? How long since the moment in Bethlehem's birth, how long will Jesus be a human? Anybody know? Forever. You say, well, that's cool. Listen, forget cool. He's God eternal. And he came. And as Mary was giving birth to him, so to speak, he came out in human skin forever to be in human skin. Did you know that right now, according to the Bible, there's a man at the right hand of God the Father enthroned in heaven forever? Look, we've always been humans, you and I. We don't know what we don't know anything. He was God, the Bible says, because he took his riches, yet for our sake he became poor. He knew no sin, says the Bible, but yet for our sakes he took upon him the sin of us all. He didn't know what it was like to stub his toe. He didn't know what it was like to be beaten. How about this? He came in obedience to the Father forever as a human. Not only that, but he came to suffer, and he willingly came. He willingly humbled himself. None of us like that. How about this? He willingly allowed himself to be misunderstood. Do you know what it's like to be misunderstood? Isn't it painful? When you try to convey something to somebody and they misunderstand you and they walk away and the exact opposite of what you wanted to have in their heart happened. Every parent knows what that's like. You know what I mean? And we're clumsy. The older I get, the more clumsier I become. I don't mean clumsy by foot. I mean that too. But I'll go to say something and I really mean something in a really warm and loving way and it comes out wrong. I'm starting to deal with that now. It's like, man, that's not what I meant. I got my words all jumbled up. Can you imagine being willfully subjecting yourself to being misunderstood? I love you, Jesus says. And you guys, not you guys that are listening in, not you here. I love you. Oh, yeah, you just want me to serve in the children's ministry. I love you, Jesus says. Oh, yeah, you just want me to be an usher. Jesus says, I love you. Oh, yeah, you know what? Why are you fighting? He just wanted to tell you he loves you. What are you making a big deal about it for? You get all upset. He was just trying to say, I love you. I wasn't going to say anything more than that. I just love you, okay? Oh, yeah, well, what do you want? That's cynical. He just loves you. Isn't it a mystery that he loves us? I wouldn't love us if I were me. I mean, if I were him. But thank God, he's not me. He willingly allowed himself to be rejected, and he came anyway. He was willingly put to death, and he came anyway. He was willing to trust the Father in everything. He grew, just like you and I grow. And then finally, you thought I was going to miss this, didn't you? Verses 23 to 38. Huh. You say you got a minute left. I know that. Look down at verse 38. It says here, and the son of Enoch, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God? What's going on here? You see the long genealogy that starts here in this portion of scripture? When it goes to Joseph, look at verse 23. It's Joseph. Joseph who? Up at the top. Joseph. It's Joseph, Jesus' stepdad, Joseph. Joseph and Mary, Joseph? You know Joseph, the one you got on your front lawn right now at Christmas time? Joseph. And the genealogy goes all the way back to the moment of creation itself. Adam. And it says Adam's the son of God. Now, wait a minute. Luke's been telling me that Jesus is the only son of God. Oh, yes, sure. In that sense, of course, yes. Of course, Adam's the son of God. And that Adam was the first human being ever made. Not only that, church, listen, this is fun. Adam was perfect. There was never another perfect human until Christ came. Adam was perfect. Eve was perfect. He was referred to as the Son of God. What's the point that's going on here? We've got the genealogy of Luke. Okay, listen, everyone, this is fun. Are you with me? Yes. By education, by degree, and by vocation, what was Luke? Anybody? He was a what? A doctor. Only Dr. Luke mentions in all of the Bible what is important to him. What is important to a doctor? Some things like chemistry. How about certainly biology, right? Luke is cool because what Luke does is that he takes from Joseph, who is his stepdad, interesting twist, all the way down to Adam. Those things don't meet. Oh, sure. Joseph can be linked back to Adam, but we have a problem. There was none of Joseph's blood in Jesus. So what's going on? Joseph had the right to the throne of the king of Israel. Joseph was related to David of old. That's why God, listen, had Jesus born into the family of Joseph. Joseph and Mary, Joseph. But there's none of Joseph's blood in him. Uh-oh, God made a mistake. Wrong. King Jeconiah, a relation, a forerunner to Joseph, did evil in the sight of God. And God turned and said, cursed be you, Jeconiah. No one from your DNA will ever sit upon the throne of Israel. From that moment on, the descendant from that line could never sit upon the throne. That's the line Joseph's from. The amazing thing is, though he had the legal access, church, listen, though Joseph had legal access to the throne, he didn't have the anointing of God. God broke that off. Uh-oh, we have a problem. Then how can Jesus sit upon the throne of David in the future? No problem at all. Because the Gospel of Luke is the genealogy of Joseph going down to, or I should say, starting with Joseph down to Adam. As soon as it goes to Adam, it connects the bloodline. Stay right here with me. Are you with me okay? Are you okay? You have three genealogies in the Bible. Luke's Gospel gives us a genealogy. John's Gospel gives us the genealogy. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, John chapter 1, and the Word became flesh. Genealogy of Jesus and his deity. The other genealogy is in Matthew. Matthew's the genealogy of the royalty. Biologically, Adam, Luke's gospel means it's the genealogy of Mary. And that's exactly true. Matthew's gospel is the priestly or the royal line traced all the way back on the Joseph side. So even though Luke starts with Joseph, it ends with Adam. Follow the blood. Whose blood was in Jesus? Mary and, but not Joseph's. Very, very important. Why is this important? You say, Jack, I don't care about this. Here's a cool thing, and we're going to end here. You see those last verses of the Bible there? All those verses of genealogies of names that I would brutalize if I tried to pronounce them? You say, well, that's not so important to me. I understand that. You ought to circle verse 24, or verse 23 to verse 38. This is for the future. I love this. Have you ever looked into something that is going to happen? Like, have you ever looked at something that's about ready to take off or look at something that's about ready to go? Have you ever seen a horse in a gate or a plane on the deck or a car at the starting line that's about ready to go? Or you might have the space shuttle and you're about ready to launch it and you know that you're going to see it after it comes back. At least you hope so. It's that kind of feeling. See, what are you talking about? Verses 24 to 38. Matthew, Luke, and John are the only authentic Jewish lineages or genealogies that any Jew in the world right now or in the future can ever look at. Church, listen. In 70 AD, the Jewish records of genealogies to trace the Messiah, they were destroyed by the 5th Roman Legion in Israel, in Jerusalem. When the Roman Legion came in and the temple was burned down and the temple records were consumed, all genealogies of Israel were wiped out. The only thing preserved was in the minds of those when the records of those who lived at the time who wrote them down, recorded in Scripture. See, what's the deal? In the future, during the Great Tribulation period, Israel must identify her Messiah. How is she going to do it? There's no record. That's why when the Antichrist comes, they will conclude, we've got no record to see if he's the real one or not, so let's just adopt him because of his miracles and his great persuasive ways. Why? Because they, at that time, will not consult the New Testament. Jews do not believe in the New Testament, even though the answer is in Matthew and Luke. When the tribulation period comes and the Bible says the veil is opened off their eyes, the Jewish people, they are going to do what you and I don't do. When we come to genealogies, we skip them because we're Gentiles. Who cares? They care. We're peering into the future. They're going to grab a Bible someday when you're raptured, gone in heaven, and they're going to turn and they're going to go, turn to Luke. I heard somebody say that, you know, turn to Luke. Luke, and look, the names. Oh my goodness. The names. Jesus. Those Christians were right. Those crazy Christians were right. We should have listened to them. It's him. He's the one. He's the Messiah of Israel. They will look to the future. You've got it sitting on your lap. Pastor, will you hurry up? I gotta go. We look so like, this is awesome. If you don't get this, you're missing a big deal. God anticipates tomorrow. When we pray, we're connecting with the God of tomorrow. What's wrong today? Call out to him. What's going to happen tomorrow? I don't know. Why don't we worry about it? Don't worry about it. He knows. He knows so much that he leaves for them a record for the future. You guys, this is a great, great gift of God. There will be a day when some Jewish people will log on to the website maybe and get this message and say, what is that guy talking about? Turn to Luke. I'm not going to touch the New Testament. Just turn to it. Open it up. Use a stick. There, open the, look, read those names. And they can read the names in perfect with their Hebrew. They can pronounce them all. Adam. It's Jesus. It's him. Don't ever think this book is old and dusty. This book is waiting for tomorrow. And this book is waiting for you who don't know him. We're going to pray right now. We're going to give you an opportunity to know him. And I want to tell you right now, for those of you who need to make this decision today, you're going to get all upset. I'm going to ask everybody to sit still. Nobody moves. Unless you got to take a pill, don't move. pray. Christians, be praying. I want you to be interceding. I don't want any distractions because this is the time when the enemy would love to mess things up. Listen. In a moment, some of you are going to feel very, very pressured, and yet no one's going to be touching you. You're going to feel intensity, and yet no one's pleading with you. You will experience the prodding of the Holy Spirit. I highly recommend you obey Him at all costs. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord God, now that you would move across this body as the bells are chiming outside now, announcing that an hour has passed. Time is late, and the hour is short. Father, as we are here right now, I pray that you'd move across this body by the power of your Spirit, and Lord, that you would speak to those who need you now. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, everyone whom Jesus called, he called publicly. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father, which is in heaven. He said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father, which is in heaven. And so while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, Christians are praying hard now that God would wrought salvation in this house. Today is the day for you to decide publicly once and for all, I'm going to take a stand for Christ. If you agree with this prayer I'm about to pray, I'm going to ask you to stand in a moment. And I'm going to ask you to follow Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd move now across this body. Lord, touch now. My friend, today you would say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I need to acknowledge you publicly as my Lord and Savior. I need to come to you. I need today to be forgiven and to know it, to have my past washed away, my present situation healed, and my future secure. I need to know, Lord, that my name is eternally set in heaven with you. I want to know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Lord, I confess to you now that I'm a sinner, and I call out to you to be my Savior. I believe, though I don't know much, that Jesus died on the cross for me and rose again from the dead. I receive him as my Savior. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if that's you this morning, will you stand to your feet, whoever you might be? Don't be shy. If that is being stirred in you, obey God. Don't shut the door on him. Any of you today, I know the Lord is speaking to some of you right now. Obey him. Will you stand and will you come forward? You think about it right now as Jean-Luc begins this song. You obey God. Don't worry about those next to you. They can't help you. When it comes time for you to die, my friend, they cannot help you. And you didn't sin against them. You and I, we sinned against God. And we need to acknowledge him publicly today.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called God's Pattern for Success. Thanks for being with us today. You know, God's Pattern for Success is just part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, want to make sure that you are aware of a tremendous book. I've got to tell you before I give you the title, I want to set you up. It's alongside my nightstand. And when it's not there, it's in my book bag alongside my favorite chair. And it's the book by Paul Benwer. It is entitled Understanding End Times Bible Prophecy. It's an incredible book. You're going to want to have it. I've got it all the time with me within reach as it covers exhaustively the things of God from a prophetic nature. You'll love it.
Understanding End Times Prophecy by Paul N. Benwer is yours for a gift of any amount. And it's available at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.